Paul, the Apostle by Grace by Brother John Mitchell. Chapter 15, to the Aegean Sea. Although Paul engaged in the longest overland journey of his missionary career when he crossed what we now call Asia Minor from east to west, there's no certainty about the route he took after he had fulfilled his first intent of revisiting the ecclesias he and Barnabas had founded in Cilicia, Lycaonia and Pisidia. There are two reasons why this is so. The first is that Luke, in the Acts of the Apostles, gives only the most general indication of the regions Paul and his two companions, Silas and young Timothy, went through. The second reason is that one of these regions, Galatia, may be treated as an administrative province or as a common name for a huge geographical area inhabited by the Gauls. The result has been that the Victorian scholars, principally Bishop J.B. Lightfoot and Professor W.M. Ramsay, propounded alternative routes known as the North Galatian, which took a much wider sweep, and the South Galatian, which was easterly and more direct. The intricacies of the argument need not concern us, and suffice it to say that Professor Ramsay's route, which he actually followed himself, is the more generally accepted. More to the point is that either way, the missionaries trod a long, hard road that reminds us again of the perils they suffered, as recorded in the letter Paul later wrote to the Corinthians. Perils from fast-flowing rivers and bandits, from cold in the mountains with insufficient clothing, from hunger and thirst, and the inevitable fatigue, especially for Paul, weakened by periodic attacks of that stake in the flesh, which some have interpreted as a form of malaria, others as a severe ophthalmia that rendered him unable to write his own letters. But while the route the missionaries travelled is uncertain, the guidance they received as they went along was specific. Luke says Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, in the extreme north, bordering the Black Sea, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas on the edge of the Aegean Sea. The whole thrust of the passage appears to be that the Lord at that time did not intend the gospel to be preached in the province of Asia, where the notable seven ecclesias of the Apocalypse, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia and Laodicea were later founded, but that the immediate task was to reach the sea across which a whole new campaign undreamt of by Paul would be launched. For it was when the trio reached Troas that, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." At which point in the narrative, a simple change of pronoun from they to we lets readers know that Luke, the beloved physician, as well as compiler of the Acts of the Apostles, had joined the party. Perhaps called in at first for medical reasons, he stayed to become yet another staunch and faithful supporter of the Apostle Paul. Ramsay makes out a case for Luke's having had connections with Philippi and suggests that Luke himself was the man seen in the vision. But in view of the veil in which Ramsay admits that Luke, the writer, enveloped himself, there's no certainty in the suggestion. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, wrote Luke, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we travelled on to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. We stayed there for several days. Much play has been made by the commentators on the fact that it was this short voyage across the Aegean Sea that first brought the gospel to Europe. But it is as well to remember that Europe as an entity did not exist at that time, its territory then being divided between the barbarian forests in the north and the Roman habitable in the south. By crossing the northeastern corner of the Aegean, the missionaries were approaching nearer to the heart of the Roman world, and entering upon the classical heritage of ancient Greece, an experience not without its challenges as they went along. The first impressions on reaching Philippi, however, were agreeable, for although the Jewish population does not appear to have been large, and as a result there was no synagogue, prayer meetings were held by the riverside, and thither the missionaries resorted on the next Sabbath, probably with their new companion as their guide. But instead of a group of Jewish men leading a small gathering in communal worship, all they met there were some women, who after the strong inclination of their sex towards things spiritual, were holding a prayer meeting of their own. Whether they were mainly Jewesses or a mixture of Jewesses and proselytes is not stated, but certainly the most remarkable of them was a proselyte whom Luke describes simply as a worshipper of God. Her name, or rather her trade name, was Lydia, after the province in Asia famed for the dyeing industry, and especially for the much coveted purple cloth of which she was a merchant. Recognising the sincerity of the group, Paul and his three companions were happy to join them, and there ensured one of the most delightful pictures in the journeys of Paul, as they all sat in a circle in a secluded spot beside the river, where Paul first prayed, and then in their hearing for the first time, told them the wonderful story of the Lord Jesus, the promised Messiah. Paul's words, however, did not stand alone that day, for we read that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message, and thereby the first foundation stone was laid of an ecclesia in Philippi that was to have treasured associations with Paul in his declining years. "If you consider me to be a believer in the Lord," said Lydia to Paul, "come and stay at my house." And so it was that in the home of this wealthy lady from Thyatira, when she had been baptized along with the members of her household, and with the missionaries as her guests, the first meeting place for believers in the thoroughly Roman colony of Philippi was set up.